Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE. If you want to grow the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
While what works for one learning business won't necessarily cut and paste seamlessly into another learning business, we know there is value in understanding what others are doing.
When it's not taken as a dictate, data about what others are focused on can help you get clearer on what you're doing and how best to achieve your strategic goals.
We are big believers in the value of data, and to that end, since 2018, at the end of each year, we've done a survey of learning businesses to assess what they're doing and what they'll be focusing on in the year ahead.
The result of those surveys is data that learning businesses can use for benchmarking and to help frame internal discussions about what they're doing and why, and not doing and why not.
In 2024, we rebuilt the survey, and episode 440 goes over the structure of the survey and covers the questions and topics in more detail. In this episode, number 443, we're sharing some key data points.
Before we get to the data, let's talk a little bit about how we got it. So we put out an online survey between November 12th and December 3rd, 2024.
And we cleaned up the data that we got, the responses, and in the end, we had qualifying responses from 120 learning businesses. And the majority of those responses came from associations. 53.3% of the responses came from associations. That was the largest grouping of respondents.
And we do a lot of work with associations, so that makes sense. But those are not the only learning businesses out there or the only types of organizations we serve. We got almost 31% of responses from commercial organizations, and about 7.5% of responses came from educational institutions.
But all those respondents, everyone who responded, represents entities that sell continuing education, professional development, and other types of lifelong learning experiences to adult learners, i.e. what we call learning businesses.
We do call them learning businesses, and we talk a lot about that on this podcast. You can find entire episodes on the concept of the learning business, so we won't dig into it too much more here other than what you said, Salisa, that these are market-facing organizations creating and selling continuing education, professional development, other lifelong learning experiences to adults. And we thought that a place that we should start with this group going into the survey, because it's the place that we like to start in general when we are working with learning businesses, is strategy.
That's right. We asked, after a few quick demographic questions, about their top strategic goals for the year ahead. We asked about a primary strategic goal and then a secondary strategic goal. If we look at those strategic goals, let's talk about the top three that came up.
Right. We're not going to go into every single data point here. Those who participated in the survey are getting deeper data than this. But, you know, this is a podcast. We're not going to go into a ton of numbers here. But those top three, the primary strategic goals that the survey respondents indicated, the first one was increasing revenue. We had 30% of respondents say that that was the primary strategic goal for them.
The second most cited strategic goal, growing enrollments and or registrations. So increasing revenue, 30%, growing enrollments and or registrations, 28.3% of respondents. So you put those two together, and often they are deeply intertwined in a learning business. Often the way you're going to increase your revenue is by growing enrollments. But if you put those two together, then you get well over half of respondents, you know, choosing one of those two as a top strategic goal.
Right. So A lot of focus on growing the numbers of people who are being served by learning experiences and the dollars that are being generated from doing that. Those were number one and two in terms of primary strategic goals. Number three was strengthening alignment with workforce needs. That was a good bit behind, but still did finish in the top three with 16.7% saying that they were going to be focused on that.
And we did also then ask, after we got folks to think about their primary strategic goals, to share those, we then asked about what's driving those strategic goals. What's on their mind that's making them think, okay, let's increase revenue or let's increase enrollments and registrations. And so again, we'll share the top three strategic drivers that survey respondents cited.
Yeah, and number one, by a hair really, was a desire to be seen as setting the pace in the field or industry that learning business serves. So 59.3% indicated this. I think we'll probably come back and talk about this one a fair amount along the way, but we found it interesting that was a big driver for so many people responding to the survey.
Well, in essence, it's a brand issue, right?
It is, yeah.
To be seen as setting the pace. I mean, that really is about, you want to be the brand that people are turning to, that people are looking to as the source for their learning.
And I think there's a recognition that that's kind of required now just to get their attention and then convert them into customers. You sort of have to be in that position in this noisy, lifelong, learning market that we all operate in.
So that was the top strategic driver. The second strategic driver, the second most cited strategic driver just behind the other, is evolving learner demand. So that desire to be seen as setting the pace, 59.3%. Evolving learner demands, 58.5%. So very close, just one percentage point, a little under a part there. And I think that makes a lot of sense. There definitely are evolving learner demands and learner needs, and learners, post-COVID have different expectations about what it's like to learn online or learn, period. We have generative AI changing how people are expecting to learn things as well.
Yeah, and I think the first two are somewhat connected too, because you want to be seen as the organization that can meet evolving learner demands, which means, you're seen as being out there setting the pace in your field or industry and, tying it back to those top strategic priorities. And if you want to generate revenue, if you want to drive enrollments, both of these are very important drivers of being able to do that.
And then the third most cited strategic driver is the need to increase financial sustainability and or profitability. 53.4% of respondents chose that strategic driver. And that does tie very clearly to this need to increase revenue and to increase enrollments and registrations. That's all tied up in this financial sustainability and hopefully profitability.
Right. And I think you can see in all of this, there's an underlying sense of shifting terrain in terms of learner needs, in terms of employer needs, and some probably a little bit of anxiety about what it takes to stay ahead in the marketplace that we're in right now for continuing education, professional development, lifelong learning.
Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE. We also asked about top trends and issues impacting the learning business's strategy in the year ahead. So which of the predefined options that we gave them are most important to their strategy in the year ahead? And the top one was workforce and employer needs. So think about things like job readiness, upskilling, reskilling. We had folks use a Likert scale for this. So 5 was that the issue was critical for their strategy in 2025, and 1 was that it was not important. This had a weighted average of 3.93, so very close to very important. And it had the highest percentage of respondents saying that it's critical. 39.2% of respondents rated this as a 5, as critical for their strategy in 2025.
Yeah, and we saw, you know, workforce alignment as a strategic priority. I think this is the trend that's kind of lying behind that. Now, second, we saw learner preferences for flexibility in a variety of ways. We know we're dealing with adult lifelong learners who need different ways of approaching learning from schedule and formats and everything else. And that scored on that Likert scale you were talking about, Salisa. By the way, head nod to Will Talheimer for getting us
for correcting our pronunciation.
Likert instead of Likert. But in any case, in that scale, that learner preferences for flexibility came out at 3.62. So also, you know, sort of knocking on the door of very important overall. And I think this certainly, it relates to revenue, it relates to enrollment, it relates to engagement, you know, the issues that we've already been hearing about in terms of strategic priorities and drivers.
And probably also evolving learner needs that
right.
we were talking about before, that
exactly.
there's this stronger preference, this stronger expectation that there will be flexibility in what you're offering with learning.
Right.
And then the third top trend or issue that was cited by survey respondents is providing more personalized learning experiences that had a weighted average of 3.36. So a little bit closer to important than very important. But again, I think that speaks to probably the evolving learner needs and demands, that they're expecting more flexibility. They're expecting more personalization. They want to get to the content that they need and not necessarily have to wade through a bunch of other information to get that.
Yeah, and you know, personalization has been an issue out there for years. It's something we asked about in our sort of former iterations of this annual survey. It was always very strong there. And it's just one of those areas. It means different things to different people. We did ask a little bit about what it means to people with some questions later on in the survey. We won't get into that data here. Again, if you participated, that's the kind of data that you're going to get. But certainly with AI coming along, and we'll talk a little bit about AI along the way here too, what's possible with personalization is changing. And I think it's making it even more top of mind for people.
You brought up AI just then, and it was one of the trends and issues that we asked about. It was not in the top three.
Right.
And I think that was somewhat surprising to us, perhaps. We're going to talk more about AI in a second episode. This is actually one of two episodes we're going to devote to exploring these survey results and what they might mean for learning businesses. So we'll get a little bit more into what we learned about learning businesses' use of AI in the year ahead.
My hopeful take on that is that people are seeing AI more as a means to an end, you know, rather than something to focus on in and of itself. That may be a little too hopeful, because we also know from our data that organizations really aren't engaging with AI at the level that maybe they should be at this point.
I'm going to start calling you Pollyanna from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
So after trends and issues, we asked about challenges, and we couched the question about challenges, specifically about challenges with maintaining or growing enrollments and or registrations for education offerings.
And so the one that topped the list here was insufficient internal resources. And that it was number one by a pretty good extent. It was 53.8% said that was their top challenge.
And then next behind that, and again, like you said, that was 53.8% for insufficient internal resources. At 40.3%, limited marketing resources. So, you know, I think some people do have, you know, internal marketing teams. So that insufficient internal resources might also have a slice of that that's about marketing. But then I know some organizations often make use of external marketing organizations and firms as well. And so anyhow, whether it's internal or external, there's a sense that there aren't enough marketing resources.
Resources are an issue. And this is what I always find a little bit puzzling in our world, because, you know, the organizations we deal with are revenue generating organizations. Presumably you invest in what a learning business is doing and you get a return from it. You're going to get the higher revenue that everybody is seeking by having those resources there. But there's perennially a struggle for resources in the learning businesses, almost as if they are being treated as cost centers, which is what would be the case, for example, in corporate L&D, as opposed to business units or full businesses themselves, revenue-generating entities.
And then the third challenge with maintaining or growing enrollments and or registrations, increased competition, 37.8%. And We've talked in many prior episodes about just how the barriers to entry into this market are so much lower now. Now you have subject matter experts competing with an association, for example, whereas maybe that SME needed the association in the past. Now there are tools and avenues for that subject matter expert to directly reach learners. So there is increased competition, and that is clearly on people's minds.
And, you know, we have really three major segments represented in the survey, trade and professional associations, commercial organizations, which could include those, you know, sort of solo edupreneurs, and academic institutions. And increasingly, those three segments are competing with each other. They're stepping on each other's traditional territory. So that's a factor in this as well.
And then after challenges, we turned to barriers to innovation. So we asked about what are the biggest barriers to innovation in your education offerings. We had some predefined choices. We also let folks define something else if they had something else on their mind that wasn't among the choices we gave them. And we had them select up to three. So again, we'll share those top three barriers to innovation. The first one, focus on short-term goals over long-term planning, 48.3%.
And I think that's a perennial issue with innovation, certainly not confined to learning businesses. I think you hear this across the board in business or in organizations that want to innovate, that it's just hard to take that longer-term view that innovation might require. You're trying to fight the current fires, basically, and can't really back up and think a little bit more creatively.
Right. And so back to limited resources, if you're feeling like you don't have sufficient resources to do what needs to be done, it can be hard, like you're saying, Jeff, to create that space to think and rethink what you're offering and to potentially innovate. But we are big fans of taking that bigger picture view at least as seriously as your short-term to-do list. And so this is a place where there might be opportunity for leaders to step up and really make sure that that vision for what you want to be seen as is clear. And if you want to be seen as setting the pace in the industry or field that you serve, which we saw as a top strategic goal, then you want to make sure you eliminate as many of these barriers to innovation as possible.
Yeah, chances are some innovation is going to be required for that. Number two on this was concerns about return on investment, 40.7, so about 41% said that that was a concern. And, you know, I think that often is an issue. I mean, you often have to make the case. In fact, you always should make the case for innovation, particularly if it's going to involve significant investment of time, money, other resources. I'll make a little plug for us here, too. I mean, this is where the type of consulting work we do comes in, basically. We come in and work with organizations to identify what those opportunities are and how to build the business case around them. And I think if anything can alleviate concerns around innovation, it's building that strong data-based business case for it.
And you said that the concerns about ROI came in second. True, but tied with the concerns about ROI was insufficient technology infrastructure. 40.7% of respondents also cited that. And again, we through our consulting engagements, we do get to hear a lot about people's learn tech stack and their tech stack in general. And it's true that there aren't a ton of super satisfied organizations with the tech stack that they have. And so I think finding that technology infrastructure that really meets your needs is a bit challenging, especially as we have changes like generative AI that are just sort of changing the ground on which we've stood for so long and really reshaping things.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of organizations do need to not just replace or get new technology, but just kind of rethink their relationship with technology. That in and of itself needs some innovation. I think certainly insufficient technology infrastructure can be a barrier to innovation, though I'm always a little suspicious of that. It always feels a little bit like a red herring. It's easy to say we don't have the technology to do that, but you know, there's nothing per se that requires technology for innovation. Just my one man's perspective on this particular data point.
Then we also asked about areas of investment. We asked, what are the top areas you're going to be investing in the year ahead? And we provided some options and we asked respondents to select up to three of those areas.
And we have very good news if you represent a marketing agency.
That's right. Coming in at the top of the list was enhancing marketing and outreach outreach efforts. 58.6% of respondents selected that. That's the only option that got over half of respondents saying that's where they wanted to invest in the year ahead. And I think it's very consistent with some of the other data that we've already been sharing here when we get back to some of those challenges with enrollments and or registrations. You know, we had insufficient internal resources and then limited marketing resources. And so, you know, this idea of enhancing marketing and outreach efforts seems to be speaking to that sense of, oh, we don't have enough resources and particularly marketing resources.
And I think there's a perception that this is the answer to the revenue priority and the enrollments priority. If we can just market more, which, you know, gets us thinking because we just know from experience that and we did, you know, the survey data, we're extrapolating from the survey data and saying this, but so often when people are talking about marketing, they're really talking about just one of the four P's of marketing: promotion. So if we spend more money and effort on promotion or just get better at promotion, somehow that's going to take care of things for us. But of course, the underlying product, you know, what it is that you're selling, all of its qualities, you know, its distribution, its positioning out in the marketplace, its pricing. Those are also aspects of marketing. And we do wonder if organizations are thinking about marketing in full and really taking those into account when they're talking about enhancing their marketing and outreach efforts here.
Right. I think short version of what you said, Jeff, is like, will more promotion make a difference if the underlying product isn't valuable or isn't seen as valuable in the market.
Right. Thank you for providing a shorter version of of my thoughts there.
And then the other top two areas of investment, second, increasing learner engagement. 45.7% of respondents want to invest in that. And then quite a bit behind it, 31% of respondents want to increase efforts to partner with other organizations.
Yeah, and the first of these, increasing learner engagement, I mean, we're always hearing about learner engagement. We've created resources around learner engagement, you know, big issue over time, and good to see that organizations are focused on investing in that in the coming year. Of course, then you have to back up and say, well, what does that mean? You know, what does engagement mean? How do you actually invest in increasing it effectively? Again, something we can help with, but we also have, you know, plenty of resources around that.
And I think the other thing about increasing learner engagement is that I think there is this idea that, oh, if we increase learner engagement, that will translate into the greater revenue,
right,
into the more enrollments and more registrations. And I think that's an interesting theory, and it seems like a reasonable theory, but I think it's the kind of thing you want to test, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that engagement actually, if your top strategic goals are around revenue or growing enrollments, will investing in learner engagement actually produce the additional revenue or the increase your enrollments?
Yeah, and I think our feeling, and we've seen this play out time and time again, is an investment in engagement is an investment in retention. You keep those same customers over time. Costs much less to keep a customer than to get a new customer. So it is a wise area of investment. It's often a hard sell, though, because it sounds easier to say we're going to hire this marketing firm to run some promotions for us than it does to say we're going to look at our product and figure out how we're going to make it more engaging. And directly, that's going to pay off over the long term. I was pleased to see the increasing efforts to partner with other organizations. Anybody who's been following us knows we've talked a lot about partnerships, particularly between associations and academic institutions, but this would also apply to partnerships between commercial organizations and academia or commercial organizations and associations. There's a lot of leverage to be gotten out of partnerships. And if you go back to that competitive landscape, we've talked about being able to collaborate effectively with other organizations to essentially kind of get the new version of a competitive advantage out there in the marketplace. We're big believers in it. And there was some data that we asked early in the survey as we were collecting some initial demographics about whether folks who identified being with an association had ever partnered with an academic institution around their educational offerings. And we asked the reverse, you know, whether higher education institutions had partnered with an association. In both cases, more than 50% of the respondents said they had, which was actually more partnership activity than we anticipated. Suffice to say that this is an area that we're going to continue to be doing more with in the coming year, and we think it is a wise area of investment.
So we've talked about the top strategic goals, the strategic drivers behind those goals. We've talked about top trends and issues, challenges with maintaining or growing enrollments and registrations, barriers to innovation in education offerings, and then those top three areas of investment. Jeff, as you said, this is just a slice of the overall data that we got from the survey. We do as we mentioned earlier, run this annually. So when we next send it out, please do carve out time to respond, to contribute to this data that then is useful to you and to other learning businesses.
We're not quite done yet. Stick around to the very end for our recap of key takeaways and some reflection questions for your consideration on your own or with your team.
At leadinglearning.com/episode443, you'll find show notes, which will include our takeaways and reflection questions, a transcript, and options for subscribing to the podcast.
And if you enjoy the Leading Learning Podcast, please tell one other person about the show. Find that someone who you feel would appreciate and get value from it, and tell them to tune in to the Leading Learning Podcast.
In terms of takeaways, the data makes it crystal clear that increasing revenue and growing enrollments and or registrations are the top strategic goals of well over half of learning businesses. And those two goals are, of course, usually intertwined for learning businesses.
Definitely. And another clear takeaway is the need for marketing. We see in the barriers a sense that marketing resources aren't adequate. And we see that marketing is the top area of investment. And again, we advocate investing in marketing in full, not just promotion, but pricing, positioning, placement. What P am I forgetting here? I'm forgetting a P. The product itself, the underlying product itself. Invest in all areas of marketing.
And we encourage you to reflect on some questions related to the survey data that we've been sharing. What are your top strategic goals for the year ahead? And what's driving those goals?
And what are the top trends and issues you're focused on in the year ahead? What's the connection to your top strategic goals?
And then what are your top areas of investment for the year ahead? Where are you putting dollars in 2025? And how connected are those areas of investment to your strategic goals?
So seriously, carve out some time on your own to reflect. You could hit pause now or schedule some time on your calendar and make notes on those questions and then discuss them with your team if you have one.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.